What makes London great? The UK's capital has a unique vibe, from its diversity to its culture. Here's why Londoners love their city.
It's multiculturalism. There are few cities in the world where a person can instantly fit in, no matter where they are from. London is one of them. Of the 9 million people who call the city home, an incredible 1 in 3 were born outside the UK. Over 300 languages can be heard on the city's streets. Only 53.8% of Londoners are white, and of those, only 2/3 are white and British. There is nothing radically new about this. As a port city, London has for centuries been a melting pot of nationalities and cultures. Over time, waves of different ethnic and religious groups have arrived as refugees or immigrants and formed distinct communities in the city. Nobody is expected to abandon their native culture in the name of becoming British, but to blend the two. That's why, for instance, state employers such as the Metropolitan Police and London Underground propose specially adapted uniforms for Muslims, Sikhs, Rastas, and other religious minorities. It would be naive to say racism doesn't exist, but it's less present than in many other places. Being of Pakistani origin, for example, was no electoral barrier to the city's mayor, Sadiq Khan. London's multiculturalism means that the city is a gastronomic mecca, despite the poor reputation of British cuisine. Every kind of food can be found here, and endless fusions of different traditions. You just need to know where to go to find the cuisine you want. The Seven Sisters neighborhood is Latin American, for instance. Peckham is Nigerian. Shoreditch is Bangladeshi. New Malden is Korean. Deptford is Vietnamese. The list continues. This multiculturalism has, over time, influenced the rest of the country. A generation ago now, sociolinguists identified a new dialect they called Multicultural London English, MLE, spreading across the city. MLE includes influences from London's Caribbean and Asian communities, both in the vocabulary and the accent. That dialect is now spreading well beyond London among younger people. In fact, at the present rate of adoption, it will become the normal way of speaking English by the end of the century.
It's entertainment. In the 1960s, they called the UK's capital Swinging London. In the 1990s, it was the home of Cool Britannia. Londoners have long prided themselves on living in the most creative city in the world. Over the decades, it has produced wave after wave of music, art, street fashion and design, and it remains one of the world's cultural capitals today. For instance, the city's many theatres sell more than 22 million tickets each year. That's bigger than Premier League football, which only sells 15 million tickets. This is only possible because people come from all over the world to see hit shows such as Harry Potter and The Cursed Child. Some shows continue for decades, such as Les Miserables, which has now had over 11,000 performances. Indeed, the world's longest-running play, The Mousetrap, by Agatha Christie, has been on in London since 1952. Others, such as Mamma Mia, or Cats, originate here and then travel the globe as franchises. Language isn't a barrier to the success of London theatre, because most of the big venues are showing spectacular productions whose attraction is technical brilliance and good music more than dialogue. There is plenty of serious drama as well, particularly at the excellent National Theatre. But unlike most venues, the National gets financial support from the government. Most London theatres live or die on their popular success alone. Generally, that either means offering musicals or dramas with Hollywood actors. American theatre fans, meanwhile, fly to London because the tickets are so much cheaper than in New York that it often makes financial sense. The amount of entertainment on offer defies the imagination. On a typical night, there will be over 240 theatrical productions and about 300 live concerts around the city. ABBA Voyage, a recent show, is a futuristic hybrid of the two. ABBA haven't played live since 1979, but every night their avatars give a performance of their greatest hits. Thanks to technology that recreates them in their youth, they appear to be on stage in flesh and blood, but the only real people are the backing band playing live. We can't say what the future holds, but since London's theatre is technically so far ahead of any other city, we can be pretty sure the future will start here.
It's greenery. London is the greenest city in Europe. We don't mean green in the political sense. We mean really green. London has 3,000 parks, and 47% of the city is green space. Its nearest competitor, Berlin, has 2,500 parks. Paris, by comparison, has only 480 parks, and France also has a very different idea of what a park should be. London parks are not Versailles-like spaces with manicured trees. They are as natural as can be, to the point of being wild in certain cases. Take Richmond Park. On the one hand, it's a city park in southwest London, a place where people go to walk the dog, sunbathe, and picnic. But that's not all. Richmond Park is also a national nature reserve in which herds of deer have been living free since 1637. Around 630 deer now live wild there. Hampstead Heath, in North London, is an ancient 320-hectare park of wild forest and lakes. The lakes are hugely popular, as Londoners can swim in them, the most dedicated doing so all year round. None of this is in suburbia. Hampstead is a chic part of the city, where the average house costs 3 million euros. Right in the heart of the city is a group of big parks that play a central role in Londoners' lives. People working in the city centre will go to St. James's Park, Green Park, or Kensington Gardens on their lunch hour. In summer, they gather in Hyde Park for free concerts by the world's biggest singers. Another favourite spot is Primrose Hill in North London, because it offers a panoramic view of the city. These green spaces are an essential part of London's character. In fact, London is so green that it is more than a city. The United Nations defines any place where 20% of the land is occupied by trees as forest. So London, where trees cover 21% of the land area, is officially the world's largest urban forest.